If God heals your disability, would you become an asshole? Dan and I start playing the lottery on the very first episode of the Indie Film Review. Hello, Dan.
Hello, nurse. I mean, Jared.
I am in this nurse outfit. I thought I would do something special for the very first episode.
Oh, I love it. I wish I had got the memo. I would have dressed
up
just as lovely as you have.
So this is the new show, guys. Hello. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
This movie...
Wait, should we not explain what we are? Where we've been?
Yeah. I mean, this is a movie... review podcast.
It's the only indie movie review podcast.
The only one. There's no other one.
In which we will be only reviewing indie films.
Just don't look that hard and you'll definitely not find any others. So the movie we're going to be doing is The Ticket. It says 2016 on IMDb. I couldn't find a budget for this movie.
Yeah, I couldn't find it either. I was helping you with the research. Some people like to be private with their stuff, you know? We can't fault them for that.
I mean, the movie doesn't look like it had that big of a budget, so that's something to consider while we're reviewing it.
Correct.
I don't know a lot of the actors in the movie.
Well, we have Dan Stevens. He's the only one that I recognized. He was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, the live-action version.
And we have Malin Ackerman as his wife. Oliver Platt is in this.
Oh, yeah, Oliver Platt. Yeah.
He's probably the only person I actually recognize from the cast. He played James's blind friend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That helps him con the less fortunate out of their money. So, Dan.
Yes?
I would like for you now to give me your elevator pitch on what the fuck this movie's about.
Not a problem. Here we go. A man who had lost his vision in childhood suddenly regains his ability to see. Then he immediately cheats on his wife and fights the very blind people he has sworn to protect, then loses his vision again.
That sounds right. What an asshole.
What an asshole.
Dan.
Jared. There's a dog barking outside.
First impressions.
Oh, yes, of course. First impressions.
Actually, let's ask that dog what his first impression is of the movie.
Hey, dog.
So, I have a list of questions here for our first impressions. We don't always have to do it this way going forward, but we thought just, I don't know, because this is kind of like through our writing process of thinking how the show should work. I have a list of questions that kind of break down every aspect of the film, and me and Dan are just going to throw some questions at each other and see how we feel. So, okay. Dan, how did you feel about the plot of this movie? Oh, also, this is without spoilers, so there's going to be a section of us spoiling the film, by the way.
This is a non-spoiling section. How did I feel about the plot is the question?
Yes, yes.
I didn't mind the plot. I'll say that. Like, it was towards the end is whenever I really started to get upset, but going through the entire system of the writing and just experiencing the movie, it was a nice... you know, comeuppance type film, essentially. And those typically can be very predictable.
I 100% agree, because I felt this film was very predictable, but still watchable, and I was interested in what was going on with this guy.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of the writing, did you enjoy the script and dialogue?
For the most part. It had some issues.
I'm sorry. What? This film had some issues with the dialogue?
It gets a little repetitive.
A little repetitive.
In certain aspects.
Jared.
It was certainly done repetitive. Or I just said repetitive. It was certainly done intentionally is what I just tried to say.
Sometimes I will agree that can service film and that cannot serve as a film at other times. And to me... the script and dialogue really worked for this film. I think that was one of the things that kept me going through the film for quite a bit of the time, as well as the acting. I think everybody's
next question.
Everybody's acting was on point.
Oh, yeah. I agree for sure.
They did excellent jobs as...
Excellence jobs,
caretaking, like, because you have the blind and you have the caretakers and you have the people who are kind of, you know, have to associate with the blind on a day-to-day basis. And it felt very realistic. Mm-hmm. And realistic is kind of a tricky word in film studies. You don't want to use it too much, but I felt like it established a lot of the buy-in for me was the realism of the acting.
Of them portraying blind people?
And the people reacting. So the dependency, yes. But then also people having to deal with that dependency in the workplace, having to deal with that dependency intimately, having to deal with that dependency as, you know, a child even.
It was pretty fascinating. Yes, I definitely did like the acting a lot. I thought it was good. What did you think about the Muzak?
Oh, man, the music. Okay, so I had to watch the movie with subtitles because there were so many, and I don't know if this was done on purpose, but there were so many parts of the film that even Amazon's closed captioning said inaudible.
Yes.
So I don't know if that was done on purpose, but there was so many moments where, like, in the middle of all the dialogue, there was just this muffled thing that you could not hear at all, and you can kind of pick it up.
Can I somehow dock points from the guy who did the subtitles for this movie? He's a motherfucker.
It's either that or it was done like that on purpose, or he just got lazy. I don't know. One of the two.
Well, what's silly is that it's like the subtitle guy, because I also watched this movie with subtitles, because... Sometimes they're just like whisper talking, right?
Yeah, they're like the first scene is them mumbling in bed, and that was my first note. It's like the first fucking scene is we don't see shit, but we just hear them just kind of
and if you read what they're saying, it's fascinating. Like, I'm interested in that conversation.
But can you hear
it?
It's
hard to hear them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the music lead-ins, the score, essentially, it worked in some areas, but then in other areas, it kind of reminded me of other things. Like, there's one very specific one that kind of reminded me of One is the Loneliest Number, because it was just like, doot, 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 doot. I'm like, okay. Now I want to listen to that song, and then it fits, but at the same time, it felt like it shifted a little bit too hard in some areas. So, like, the musical score doesn't necessarily match up or doesn't blend well, in my opinion. I don't know. That's just me.
I thought it was very serviceable.
Yeah.
It did what the sound effects and music are supposed to do.
Exactly.
And I barely thought about the music.
Okay,
at all.
So fair enough. Do you think that the cinematography, like things like the visuals, do you think that that was serviceable in your idea of what a film should be?
I thought it was slightly better.
Slightly better. What do you mean by that?
Yes. I actually took notice of some of the camera work in this film and what the director was doing.
Interesting.
He had some very interesting shots. Like, there's a shot where the main character comes through a church, through these church doors. And just the way it was shot, I don't know, it was very pleasing to me. And there's a few little things he does with blindness that he shows through film.
That is
just through visuals.
That is most certainly the thing that I wanted to bring up, like being able to show this disability through film and how he uses the lens to pick up on that. But my issue with this film is that those are so few and far between, and I just wanted to see more playing with it. You know, I mean, it serviced the film and it was really cool the way he did it, but I just wanted to see more of that. And to me, the cinema, because I'm a huge stickler for cinematography, you'll kind of get to know that about me throughout this entire show. It's my favorite element of film form. And just the way the camera moves, it makes me cream my jeans. I have to say it. It's just, this film didn't do it for me. It really didn't. Outside of the blindness aspect.
How do you feel about the pacing of this movie? I think that'd be the last thing I can think of. Editing and pacing.
Well, there's a lot of really interesting scenes in the movie that don't really service it. No matter how much I wanted to like them, I couldn't.
Were they all in the beginning?
They were in the beginning. They were all over the place. Like, at one point where the character decides to get on a treadmill and run for about 30 seconds. And we just needed to see all 30 of those seconds, I guess.
Or the extended lovemaking scene between
certain
characters.
Of course.
You're like, where's that remote?
Exactly.
How do I fast forward again? Here it is. All right.
What about you? Did you feel like, so I'm taking it that the pacing for you as well is kind of iffy?
After, so the first 30 minutes, I was kind of like, what are we doing? Like, I know we're trying to establish all the characters, you know, that's what the first 30 minutes of a film is for. And then after that, it's like the meat of the film. But I'd say around the 40 minute mark when I was like, oh, okay, I'm interested in what's happening now. Like it, so this isn't a good thing for the movie, but I became much more invested around halfway through the film. And in terms of
just pacing alone.
Yes. And it held my attention for much longer.
You know what? I have to agree with you. I feel like it was a weird kind of bell curve where it's like it went up as it went. Mm-hmm. But then towards the end, it kind of went back down again, which, I mean, if you really think about the film's narrative, how he loses or he gains his vision, then does stuff and then loses his vision once more. I feel like that might have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure, but the pacing for me was definitely one of the weaker aspects of the film.
Yes. I do think that the main thing that really helped my enjoyment is some of the character interactions, because this is a straight up drama, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime James and Bob were in a scene together, it was fantastic. Yes. Anytime James and Sam, his wife, were in a scene together, were really good. There's also a really interesting scene with James and Jessica, the woman he kind of has.
I like that scene a lot.
His laissez-faire.
So, like, the acting, what we're getting at is, like, the acting and the script, you know, those are two strong suits of this film. So,
yes.
If you...
Acting carries this movie.
If you like to watch dramas with good acting, and if you like watching Dan Stevens or Oliver Platt, I recommend you should watch this film.
Also, they handle religion in this movie.
Yeah.
And aspects of God in a very non-preachy, pretty... I thought this movie was going to be like, I'm like, dang it. Are we watching some movie where they're going to say like up, Jesus Christ or something needs to be accepted into your heart?
Now that you bring and it that's up, the whole point if of the you film. Are at all interested in that kind of aspect of, you know, existential dread and how religion handles that, it's not preachy, but it is brought up quite a bit because essentially how he or how we know or how he understands his sudden vision is he prays to God one night, basically.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that being a Christian is bad or anything. I just don't like it when it's forced on me in a film, when like that's correct. The solution to something. It gets a little annoying. So I think the way they broached that subject was nice. I enjoyed it. So like we can still talk about religion without you just being like, what's that Nick Cage movie where he's flying the plane, Left Behind?
Left Behind.
Hey, if Nick Cage was in this movie, how many points would this jump up? In terms of who would he play?
Oh, God. I would love to see him play. Oh, man. I have no idea who I would love to see him play.
How about Nick Cage's Bob?
I don't know. I kind of want to see him in the title role.
In the title role?
Well, not the title role. Not the titular ticket. Yes, I want to see Nick Cage as the ticket.
Yeah, Mr. Ticket himself.
Oh, my God. I just had a really funny visual of Nicolas Cage as an animated ticket. Come on, Charlie.
Oh, God.
You can get into the factory with me.
The tickets! Oh, the tickets! And they put him in, like, one of those...
The cash grab machines, like Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, the cash grab machines, but it's just got golden tickets. They're hitting him in the face. He's like, Absolutely. Must see TV.
Jared, do you think people should watch this film? I do.
Yes.
Okay.
I think this film, if you enjoy drama... I would watch it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's passable. It's passable.
Yes.
So now that we have done that, let's cut ties with the first part of the show. That was a weird thing. Cut ties with the first part of the show and dive headfirst into the non-spoiler-free territory.
Oh,
we are
spooky.
Going to spoil. So if you do not want spoilers, you want to watch this film, cut it off right here and maybe come back to us because here is where they start to begin. We're going to nitpick the fuck out of this.
I just thought, because we did our impressions and everything else, we kind of did spoil the ending of the movie, but it was very predictable. Like, everyone knew this was going to happen anyways. I don't want to start this first episode insulting the audience, but if you didn't think he was going to become blind again, I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life that you sat down and watched this movie? You're like, oh, a man who's blind, who's able to see and becomes an asshole. You're like, I wonder where this plot's gonna go. Like, of course he's gonna become blind again. What else can you do with
this? You didn't see it coming from a mile. The minute I read the plot, I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be a sad movie because he's gonna lose everything he ever had, and he's gonna go right back to where he was, but now he doesn't have it anymore.
And it definitely gets
sad. Here's a big thing. Ready? Uh-huh. We're going to introduce this spoiler section with the IMDb plot, because this pisses me off.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
IMDb, its synopsis, its sentence to get you into watching this film. Listen to this and listen to how much it makes me seethe with rage. I hope it does to you, too. So a blind man who regains his vision finds himself becoming metaphorically blinded by his obsession for the superficial.
It is a good explanation.
It is, but now if I had read that prior to watching this, it's like, I can't figure that on my own, you know, as I did in the movie. I have to, it's like, oh, it's a fucking metaphor. Don't fucking tell me that your film's a metaphor, because number one, I'm not an idiot. All films are metaphors.
As far as the metaphor goes, that's not the whole strong suit of the film. Like we said, everybody knows what's going on with this movie. It's more about his journey and the acting.
Yeah, the character study, and that's what I like it a lot. Or that's what I like a lot about it. It's the acting. It's the interactions that we see. And one of the strongest points of this film, the narrative for me, is whenever I first was watching this film, or whenever I first read the Amazon synopsis, I was just expecting it all to transpire over the whole 130 minutes, but I do like how the vision is regained at the very beginning of the movie, because then we get to see what happens. Like, it's not part of the plot because it happens so quickly. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't have to wait 30 minutes for that vision to come. It's like right there.
Yes. And what I liked is how realistic all of it was, because he really does throw his marriage away. He starts to feel like his wife only loves him because she wanted someone to take care of. And that he just pities him. And that's what their relationship was built off of. She does, I'll say she does a bad job of not convincing him of that. Because he raises a lot of insecure thoughts up to people. And people kind of validate them. They're like, yeah, I kind of did think you were pathetic at that dance where I met you. And that's why I went up to you to ask you to dance. Because you just seemed so sad. Because you're just standing in the corner. But then, you know, like, that kind of grew into something to where they're married and now they have a kid. I mean, obviously there's something more to it than that. But in his head, he starts to find these little nitpicks that when he was blind, he didn't see before. You know what I mean?
Now that he has his vision.
There's another contentious point that he brings up with his wife where his son is getting bullied at school. And it's unclear if his son is doing the bullying or if his son is being bullied, and I kind of liked that.
I like that, too, a lot.
Is his son just an asshole, and now he's protecting him for it? And maybe that's why the mom didn't bring it up to the dad? And he's, like, mad at the wife, because he's like, why didn't you ever tell me that our son was getting into fights at school? Because he can't really tell unless he sees it.
You know, because he's blind.
Because he's blind.
Jinx.
Did you have anything else to add to that? Because I had another topic I was thinking of.
I thought I did, but I don't.
You thought wrong, motherfucker.
Keep going.
All right? That was your first mistake. Thinking. You're here for the looks and the glam. Yeah, that's right. You're my side piece.
Oh, yeah. So this film reminds me a lot. If you guys, like, pause this, go watch, it's an old White as Kids You Know sketch where, like, I think it's just called Eye Doctor, where this guy, he spent his whole life not being able to see properly, and then the doctor gives him glasses, and then he's like, oh, doctor, your lights are like fireworks! And he's, like, having the time of his life just seeing things for the first time that are not blurry, and then he turns around, he looks at his wife, he's like, oh. And then he takes off the glasses, and he's like, nope, the damage is done.
That's what I kind of felt like in this film.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this film reminded me a lot of
it. It seemed like he was just not attracted to his wife anymore.
Yeah.
Because he could see her. But then, that's silly in my respect. So the whole crux, the pillar of this film is this guy is a God-fearing, nice, caring person, right? Then he's able to see, and it starts off, oh, this is really great. This is really going to help his relationship and his job. and then he just becomes a huge asshole. Now, I don't know, because I have not lived through this experience of, like, having a life-changing event like this. Would it change you? Because you can also equate this to winning the lottery.
Mm.
You've probably heard of many stories of, like, a couple who's happily married for 10, 20 years. They win the lottery, and they immediately get divorced because they're like, this money is tearing us apart. I think that's a whole different story and a whole other movie that could be made that could be fascinating. But with this, I want to go out on a limb and say that blind people can tell if someone is attractive or not through their other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like through other senses.
Yeah.
Do you think it's his newfound confidence? I'm just wondering why he hasn't tried to cheat on his wife as a blind man.
It's for sure his newfound confidence. This newfound look at the world, essentially, where he's like able to explore things.
Yes.
That he wasn't able to explore as a child.
Because it's like he immediately wants to rip people off through his company at a church.
Immediately wants to dance with other women.
Yeah.
Like, whenever his wife at first, is it before? No, it's after. When does
it's he before he does the cheating. He just dances with a random woman. He's flirting with the idea.
But what
cheating.
I'm saying is he didn't want to go to the dance at first with his wife. And then later on in the film, he's like, he asks a woman to dance. Some random stranger.
Yeah. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like, you motherfucker. You're just bored with dancing with her. You want to dance with other women.
Exactly.
So, it was like a metaphor. Metaphorically blinded. So I like that. Even though I'm making fun of it because I'm a goof. And I also liked the idea of once he broke up with his wife still kept going to the dance. And how she was like, I used to think this was for you, but actually it was really for me because I enjoyed going to the dances. And I loved, oh my God, I loved how they were introducing his friend Bob as like wanting what he had.
Yeah.
That's what made the movie for me. There's a moment in the film where the main character, James, comes to Bob's house because Bob has been against him the whole second half of the film because he's been a real asshole. You know, he's trying to trick people through Christianity to get them to sell their homes so his company can make money.
It wasn't necessarily Christianity. He's like, we're going to do it at elementary schools, we're going to do it at community centers, and we're going to do it at churches. But we only focus on the churches.
Yes, because we only focus on church. Yeah.
That's where he can get the idea out, you know, proper first. And it just turns out that has like the biggest repercussions of his behavior, essentially.
And throughout the movie, it starts to get hinted at and then gets confronted with like Bob wants to be with James's ex-wife.
Yes.
He wants what he had, and he's mad at James for throwing that away once he was able to see. Because he's like, why would you do that? He's like, that's basically all he's ever wanted. So then when he tries to step in and make that happen, and it doesn't happen, it's so tragic for him. Like, and then their confrontation at the end.
Yeah.
Where Bob punches him in the face. Yeah. I was like, this is so good.
It gets pretty intense.
It's a blind guy fight. Yes. And I liked it. And then he tells him to get out of his house. I was like, damn, dude. That could not have ended better. It's sad. It's not a happy ending. For sure.
No, of course not. Now, Jared, you have a love-hate relationship with the dialogue in this film I'm getting from you. Why is that? You said it became repetitive after a while.
Yeah, so there's a little spiel that happens at the very beginning of the film. And one of my favorite moments that really got me hooked is the intro when they are having their bedtime banter. You know, and it felt so believable to me. I was like, I'm really into these two. And like, I believe their relationship, you know, just this little back and forth. But one of the things that come up is the actual name of the title of the film, The Ticket.
I forgot who he said did it, but he gave a name. Do you remember the name
of the character? No, I don't remember.
He said something like, somebody told me the story today. Do you want to hear it? And if it's
It was his friend, Bob.
Bob actually. Told. Oh, my fucking God.
Bob
See that makes this that makes this film so much better because there's a scene where like you zoom in on Bob during the time whenever he's actually using this in his speech.
Well, Bob confronts him and tells him, you're not using that story correctly. You're not even understanding the metaphor of it.
Yeah.
So anyways, the whole thing was a man wishes.
A man.
What is a man but a miserable pile of secrets? No,
Hey, sir. A man every year, every day, every hour of his life. Prays to God. God, I want to win the lottery. And he keeps praying, year after year, day after day, hour after hour. Until one day, an angel comes up to God and says, God, this guy's been praying so long. So long. Why don't you just answer his prayers? And God's like, well, I really wish I could, but he's never bought a lottery ticket.
Oh, shit. I turned to my girlfriend and I said what the punchline was years before. And I'd never heard this story.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why are we all here listening through our ear holes to this indie film review? I'll tell you why. Because your addiction to movies and your addiction to podcasts.
Oh, shit, dude.
And I look out into this crowd and I see all of your faces.
Very clearly.
Very clearly through the internet. And I see young people, I see old people, I see people like me and not like me, and...
And I like to make those people not like me go away.
There we go, perfect.
I just, you know, I don't want to hurt him, I just want him to go somewhere else. Oh, all right. We're all having fun here. I don't actually think that was a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was also a clip from the movie. I don't know if like.
Oh yeah, that was a direct clip from the film. Yes. Absolutely.
It was not me saying it, but see, Jared's beef with the film is that gets repeated so many times. You know how many times it was repeated? I did that from memory. That's how many fucking times that
five
movie
or six
was,
times
was so fucking much.
There's a few times when they did it. It should have been a montage.
Yeah, they should have done a montage of this.
Should have been a montage.
Could have been a crackhead.
Because it almost felt like, we don't know what's going on in the film. I don't know, let's just do that speech again. And you're like, God damn it, really? It got repetitive, if you can't figure it out. Dan, was there anything else you wanted to tackle about this film? Maybe a scene you hated, maybe a scene you loved?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, the scene where they bring Christianity into question, because the whole thing spurs where, like, he thinks that he gets his vision back because he prays to God one night, and then all of a sudden his tumor recedes, because it's apparently a tumor. And the issue with this is that's not how prayer works. It's like, you know, it may have been a miracle, but it, like, I can't see it as, you know, being a direct result of that one question that he asked God in that one second. But then, as you said, it kind of hits on religion throughout the film, and it kind of brings it up of him being an asshole in church and trying to, you know, take advantage of people. But then with his new wife or new girl wife friend, mm-hmm. who is basically a higher up at work after he gets a promotion, he's like, oh, I can see you now.
Oh, what's hilarious is the main character is... He is like a supermodel. This guy is insanely attractive.
Yeah.
And now women are just now figuring him out because he can see. That is the silliest fucking thing about the film. I completely forgot about it.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I was going to bring that up, but I had forgotten.
Hilarious.
Anyway, so she is now in bed with him, and they're having a conversation about what it means to believe in God.
Uh-huh, yes.
And she basically says exactly what he does at the beginning of the film, in which he says, or she says, I believe when I need to believe.
Yes.
Which is how most Christians or people who claim themselves to be Christians believe. Yeah.
And that's why I like this movie.
And it was such a great scene because, you know, they're both naked in bed and nothing's being shown except for like their backs. Like he's sitting upright away from her, like facing off the bed. And then she's on his shoulders, just kind of caressing him, kissing him on his neck. And it's a really beautiful, touching scene. But what she's talking about is very childish almost. And it's very superficial, a very superficial outlook
selfish
on religion. Yes, absolutely. Mm.
That's how most people are, for sure.
Exactly. That's how most people are. But the idea that you just brought up, that it's superficial and selfish, and like there's this thing that superficiality is a very inherently selfish trait, because you're only looking at face value because it's easier on you, essentially. You don't want to look any further, because the further you look into it, the more complicated it becomes, and you don't want to have to change his diapers at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that goes in with...
That's what you do to blind people, right?
What's that?
Like, you change blind people's diapers. I get them confused all the time.
Well, I mean, if I was blind, I'd definitely have somebody change my diapers. I can't find my butthole!
I'm pretty sure you'd be able to find your butthole. I'm sorry.
Maybe. You gotta check the oil every now and again, if you know what I mean.
You can wash your hands.
If I could find
my hands.
If I could find my hands. I was like, where am I going with that sentence? That doesn't make any sense.
The minute Jerry goes blind, he will give himself a nice makeup job with his doo-doo.
If I ever go blind, the first thing I will say are, where are my hands? Over and over again until someone tells me where they are, because I'm an idiot. Yes, I love this scene. It really does tackle religion in a way that I thought was very fascinating and not run-of-the-mill. Like, I thought it's almost saying, like, we want to focus on religion as a way to live your life as a good person, like how to be a good person. You're modeling yourself through it doesn't even mention like Jesus or anything like that, any other religion. It's kind of keeps it vague.
I mean, they go to a church, which is obviously Christianity. It's not about Christianity. It's about
religion
and what religion is able to do for you in times of crisis, in times of need, which largely is, it's kind of the unsung hero of the movie, because that's really where a lot of my enjoyment came from, was thinking about things like that.
The ending of the film, I liked it a lot. It was very sad and ambiguous. He crawls back to his wife after he's blind. He's confessing the error of his ways. And you're kind of like rolling your eyes because you're like, please make this female character strong enough to not take this guy back. And she is like, I am definitely not taking you back. And I was so happy. I was like, yes,
but
finally consequences for the main character.
I don't know. Because at the very end, like, isn't there like a female voice at the end?
Yes, there is.
And we don't know who it is because we don't see them. But like, who else would it be besides the wife?
But that doesn't mean that she's going to get back with him.
Does it, though?
And I hope it doesn't, because that would kind of sour my feelings on the film.
See, that at first I was like, yes, don't take this motherfucker back. And then at the very end, I'm like, oh, god damn it, really?
Yeah. I think she just wants that because she is realizing that he's having an existential crisis. Like, he's going crazy. But I don't think she wants to be back with him because of what he did. I hope not. I don't know. Anyways, even if they got back together,
it wouldn't be the same.
His flip-flop of like, I can see now, I'm a total asshole, I'm blind again, oh, I've realized the error of my ways. I'm like, did he really? Like, what if he could see again, like, the next day? Do you think he'd still be good? He'd be like, oh, I'm back to being an asshole again. Is it just a weird on-off switch?
It's just a dumb humble pie movie. Like, that's all it is.
So let's get into the final thoughts, Dan.
Final thoughts. Is it the worst movie I've ever seen? Absolutely not. Like, the acting, again, is what you want to stay for. The acting and just the existential ideas of religion and how religion functions in our society are things that really are things that you should cling on to, or at least I clinged on to as I was watching it.
I enjoyed this movie. It was a little boring at times, but the story is predictable. I enjoyed it for the most part.
So we got everybody on the same page for the first couple of episodes. What we're going to be doing is announcing how our scoring system works. Our final scoring system is going to be as follows. There are five main elements of film form. You have narrative, you have mise-en-scene, which is a fancy French term that means everything in front of the camera, including acting, cinematography, editing, and sound. We've attributed 2 points maximum to each one of those categories. So at the end of the day, my final score for this film, after talking about it and shifting things because I was too kind to it at first, is a whopping 5.5.
Ah, I see. 5.5. Let me tally up my score here. Hold on one moment. Okay, my score is a 6.5.
A 6.5. And
it was a little higher. I think throughout talking about the film, I only dropped it maybe a half a point or so. And that was with the narrative and the story section. That was some of the stuff that was happening in the film kind of grated on me. But, it's a pretty solid film. I would consider a 5 to be an average,
decent
movie that you could find on Netflix. You're like, what's this piece of shit? No, I shouldn't say that. Not piece of shit. You're looking through, you're finding a film, and you're like, hey, what is this movie? This could be good. You watch it, and you're like, oh, it's pretty good. That was fine. Anything lower than a 5 is when you start getting into bad territory.
Right.
Like, I'd say a 3 is a piece of shit.
Yeah, or it's hard to get through.
A 1 is, like, unwatchable.
Yeah, or a 0. Ooh.
This is not a film. Oh, yeah, are we going to do 0s?
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, we are doing 0s. Like, it's 0 to 2 for each one of those categories. Now, anyway.
What will be the first film to get a 0
I can't fucking wait to figure that out. Here we go. So 5.5 from me out of 10 and 6.5 from Jared, and that gives us a total of 12 divided by 2 for the average. Our total score from the Indie Film Review is a 6 out of 10 stars.
Wow, Wowie zowie!
Wow.
I think a 6 is a pretty good
I do too.
Score for this, slightly above average.
I agree.
All right then. Dan?
So next week, we are going to be watching a film called The House That Jack Built.
Oh.
A new movie by Lars von Trier. Stay tuned for that.
Hopefully someone's dick gets smashed with a rock.
Oh, or lots of sex happens. Whoa!
Yowza! That's why I watch those Lars von Trier
films. I love
films.
Lars von Trier. He's the best.
I love it when he hurts people for my amusement. Dan?
Yes?
You have the final word.
Are we not going to tell people where we're coming from?
Oh, you're right. I'm a fucking idiot. Hey, guys, you can find us. If you want to email us, it's theindiefilmreview. That's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter, Indie Film Review. It is @IndieFilmPod. If you want to find us on Twitter.
If you are an indie filmmaker, please, please, please send us your indie films and we will review them free of charge this podcast.
This is the most important thing. If you have made a film with your own money or independently, even like through like a small company, not one of the big companies,
we will give it the indie film treatment.
Let us know if you want us to review it.
Exactly like we did it today. We will do it even if your film is not as good as a 6 and you keep getting downtrodden by that. We will take it up and we will raise it above our heads and we will say, I will give you a fair shake. Yes.
Yes. We're going to try to be as fair as possible with the movie, okay?
Yes. Especially if you come to us. You just get 2 points automatically.
That's right. All right, Dan, you have the final word.
Oh, I got a golden ticket. I got a golden ticket. I got a golden twinkle in my eye. Because when I'm blind, I can't see anything.
Where are my hands?